In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, most of us have undoubtedly heard the phrase, you can tell a lot about a person by looking at his shoes. And while that may or may not be true, I'll tell you what is true. As our Savior points out in this morning's gospel, you can tell a lot about a person by the fruit that they bear. And in this way, every man is like a tree, morally speaking, yielding a certain kind of fruit. And we can observe and deduce what type of fruit he bears by his conduct, his deeds, and by what he speaks. You see, in this way, we are able to witness a man's innermost nature, whereby his true self is revealed from the fruit he produces. As Jesus declares in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. If he is a true disciple of Christ, he will produce fruit worthy of Christ's love. He will dedicate all that he is towards bearing that good fruit as a means of growing the kingdom of God. In a tree that bears good fruit, endures, and is kept, and is cared for by the orchardist, much like the good sheep that remains under the care of his master. But likewise, there are those that produce bad fruit, the type of fruit that spoils and rots, because he is not a disciple of Christ, but bears only the fruit fostered by his own desires and wishes. And yes, it is difficult to distinguish which tree from which, the good from the bad, that is, all the way up until the time harvest comes. Why? Because a tree looks the same until it starts to bear fruit, just like the ravenous wolf in sheep's clothing, looks like a sheep until its actions reveal its true nature. As Jesus says, beginning in verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Nor can a good tree bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Notice how Jesus repeats this phrase a second time. First in verse 16, and again in verse 20. By their fruits you will know them. Which this is indeed our Lord's message for us this morning. For you, for me, each of us here this morning, and those of you listening at home will know one another by the fruit that you bear. Are we truly bearing fruit worthy of Christ and his kingdom? We're only part of the time. Be honest with yourselves here. And if the answer is part of the time, then my friends, we are in danger of being thrown into the fire. For as we have just heard, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Therefore, it is impossible to say we will serve Christ only on a part-time basis. You either strive to produce good fruit or you don't. And you strive to do so all of the time. And the fruit that you bear most assuredly will be known unto others. It will no doubt influence others. My friends, good fruit does not bear false witness. It is not stubborn, nor does it pretend to masquerade as something it isn't. Bearing good fruit means being honest to one another without discrimination or without agenda. Bearing good fruit concerns itself only with what is righteous and good and true. Bearing good fruit is about forfeiting the petty things we so often cling to. It's about mending relationships, not tearing them down. It's about fixing our eyes upon the cross of Christ and seeking to follow in his blessed footsteps, dying to the world, dying to those things that seek to do us harm, dying to sin, so that we might truly experience what it means to live and to endure in the love of God and Jesus Christ. And notice how in his speaking about the types of trees, Jesus only identifies those that are good and those that are evil. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no middle ground in their classification. The tree is either good or it is evil. And that the fate of the tree that bears fruit only part of the time shares the same fate as the evil tree, as John's revelation explains, "Because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." But I want to say this all to you, while also acknowledging that none of us are perfect. We all know what it means to sin. And if you're feeling a bit squeamish about that, allow me to be the first to admit it. I am a sinner. We all, at one point or another, know what it means to perhaps bear falsely, to put our own desires above the commandments of our Lord, to produce those fruit buds that are mired by sin. Which is why Christ our God has given us the wonderful sacrament of repentance. You see, every tree, even if it's a good tree, is in need of pruning of some sort. The orchardist doesn't just let it grow wild with branches growing everywhere and what have you, because he knows that the secret to maintaining a good harvest is in how the tree is nurtured and pruned. And that is precisely what the sacrament of repentance is for us. The process of pruning those things, those vices that could cause us harm. When we sin, we confess those things which we have done, those things which would lead us towards bearing bad fruit. And as the priest pronounces absolution, guess what? Those vices are pruned off so that the body can once again be restored and concentrate on bearing good fruit. You know, just this past week, my youngest son, Michael, and he knows I'm going to talk about this, but he became very angry and upset at his brother and sister because they refused to do something he wanted them to do. And so what does any six-year-old kid do when he doesn't get his way? He resorts to name-calling. So my oldest son, Zachary, came downstairs to tell me what Michael had called them, and I kindly asked Michael to come downstairs for a little chat. And I could already tell that he was feeling a little bit of remorse. But I asked him what had happened and what names he had called them. And he answered honestly. And then I gave him something. A medal just like this one I have in my hand, which was given me a time ago by our good friend John Malloy. And this coin is inscribed, "Put on the whole armor of God." And on the opposite side, it pairs a specific virtue with the armor of a knight. And as I gave this coin to Michael, I concentrated on the virtues of righteousness and truth. Now, for a six-year-old, the term righteousness doesn't quite register in their vocabulary. So I replaced righteousness with the word good. And I looked him in the eyes and explained to him that if he wanted to be a good brother to his siblings, which he expressed to me that he wanted to do, then he needed to be good and true to them. And so as a means of repentance, Michael, after having apologized to his brother and sister, carried that coin with him wherever he went the rest of the day as a reminder that he is to be good and true in everything that he does. You see, Michael needed that reminder, just as we would all do well to remind ourselves each and every day that we are to be good and true to each other, even if it means physically carrying around that reminder to do so. After all, what could be more important, bearing good fruit and remaining with Christ, or being removed from his orchard and thrown into the fire? I would like to think that none of us would want such a fate, nor would we want to see anyone succumb to such an ordeal. Therefore, let us be bearers of good fruit, the fruit that will last and endure to the very end. As Paul has told us in this morning's epistle, in being made free from sin and becoming servants of God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end, life everlasting. You see, we have everything we need to bear good fruit. We have the gospel. We have the blessed sacrament. We have a direct line to God by way of our prayers and to the saints. But we also have each other. And that should not be underestimated. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them, says the Lord. Our Lord's primary concern for us is for all of us to be bearers of that good fruit, the fruit of righteousness, as St. James declares in his epistle. And what is good? Only God has the authority to define what is good and evil. As Jesus goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? That does the will of my Father in heaven. And what is God's will for our lives? Above all that is written in the great text that is our Bible, and all that has been spoken through the years by his countless saints, and everything that the church has taught, God's will can be condensed into the following phrase: for from it, everything proceeds. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. And I tell you all this morning, without any doubt, if you do those two things, if you love God and your neighbor, you are bearing that good fruit. When you say it that way, it kind of seems very simple, doesn't it? But we all know it's hard at times to love each other. But that is what bearing good fruit is about. It's about loving one another, not just in the good and joyous times, but also in the bad and difficult ones as well. For at the core of our being is a beating heart, the same as anyone else. And each and every heart is worthy of possessing the greatest gift God has given unto the world: love. Out of love, he created us. Out of love, he became one of us. And out of love, he laid down his life for us. That's the model for bearing good fruit. If we adjoin ourselves to Christ's love, then we, like him, bear that good fruit. By your fruit, men will know you, and likewise you them. May we, through our prayers and intercession of the holy saints of God, bear the good fruit of Christ's love. And by it, may the world be blessed and Christ be praised. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.